Well, good morning, everyone. Father, we thank you we can gather. We thank you for your precious word. And Lord, as we are in the Psalms on Saturdays, it is so beautiful to see you speaking in such a variety of ways and how we need to hear from you in all ways, really, Lord. Lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I love prophecy. I love prophecy, but also it's good to get a psalm like 39. 39 is a psalm, as you may know, is a reminder of the brevity of life. So all of you who are saying, oh, I hope he comes today. Oh, I hope he comes tomorrow. Oh, I can't wait. That's good. But there's another side to life as well, as to recognize that the only thing that you can never replace is yesterday or is time that is past. And how have you spent it? Because the clock is running down. How much time is left, we don't know, but really very little. And so I guess the question I came up with after I got through this psalm is, how much time am I frittering away? Worrying and spending times on really have no real eternal significance. Oh, did you hear what Biden did? What difference does it make? Yeah, pray for him. Pray for his soul. You know, that's good. But to say, oh, he's so bad. Yeah, he is. So today we have that psalm on looking at the brevity of my life and finishing that statement. How much time can I fritter away and still hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant? Now, we've got a God of grace and a God of mercy, but we want to be good stewards with what he's given us that can't be replaced, and that's our time. Everything else you can replace probably, or at least partially, but not time. And so David is right in the midst of this today, and we see his heart, and these are just so emotional, these portrayals of David's heart and spirit writing through him, and it just seems to me like it's something that we all need to hear in the variety of these ways. So as we see the first verse, it says, I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. Verse 3, my heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned, then I spoke with my tongue. And so I thought, well, let's sing a tongue song. So back 300 years to Charles Wesley, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. Charles Wesley, this is one of 6,000 hymns that he wrote. It was commemorated on 1 year anniversary of his coming to Jesus. And there's a little few lines there at the top of your notes that you can read. One thing was kind of interesting. He and his brother John, so instrumental in the early church, or in the church, and yet they said, we know that many more came to the Lord through, or at least Charles said, I know many more people came to the Lord through the hymns than through any preaching that I ever did. And I think it's important that we also recognize the beauty that God has given us in the hearts and minds of these writers. And so let's sing, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing what? My great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. So let's sing along here if we may. Psalm 39. I'll read the 13 verses and then we'll look at it just briefly, verse by verse. I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as hand breaths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I do? I wait for. My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. I was mute. I did not open my mouth because it was you who did it. Remove your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. When with rebukes you correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is a vapor. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner as all my fathers were. Remove your gaze from me, that I may regain strength before I go away and am no more. Wow, a lot of thoughts come to our minds when we hear that psalm, seems to me. We begin the psalm to the chief musician, to Jeduthun. I don't know if you know, remember who Jeduthun is not or not, but David, in his magnificent planning for the temple, had laid it all out, all the issues, or the various priesthood schedules and so forth. And he had all these singers, but there were three, Asaph, Jeduthun, and Haman, who were the three worship leaders. All of the worshipers reported to one of those, but those three reported directly to the king, as we see in Chronicles. So well organized, and so there, this one and two other psalms are kind of to Jeduthun. I think there are two to Haman, and then Asaph has about seven, I think. But those were the song leaders, and they were the most effective in leading the song, so why he gave these psalms to them, I don't know. But this one is to Jeduthun, or Jeduthun, and we read in verse 1, I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. So we see now David is going through some, what we'll get through, I think, in this psalm, he's going through some great chastisement by the Lord. And he is just outwardly thinking what he goes through here. He says, you know, I've been messing up. I've been saying things I think that I shouldn't have said. I'm just going to guard my tongue. I won't say anything. I don't know if you've ever been there, but that's what he's saying. I said, I will guard my ways lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle. Next time you watch the news, you probably will think about putting that muzzle on, right? But I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle while the wicked are before me. And now he goes too far, I think. I was mute with silence. I even held my peace, even from good. I don't think we want to do that. There are times we need to speak out. We just can't shut our mouth up forevermore. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Have you ever been there? Then I spoke with my tongue. That's not always so good. Every time I see musing, the thought always comes to me, I don't know, but now Disney and these others who have amusement parks, right? Muse means to think. Amuse means not to think. Think how popular the amusement things are in our society. I won't go into all the gay stuff down in Florida right now because that'll get me really off the track here. I'm supposed to bridle my tongue. Verse 4, Lord, make me to know my end. Ooh, all of a sudden now the light's going on. Think of the time I'm wasting. You don't know how much that is, but I kind of do. How much I kind of waste with keeping up on things, world events. Most of that is a total waste of time, unless it brings you to pray for salvation or something that's going to last. Governments come, governments go. Wars come, wars go. We're promised that. So make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days? We need to think about that, really, because most of us don't even want to think at all about the measure of our days. We got plenty of time. We got plenty of time. What is the measure of my days? Why? That I may know how frail I am. You know, we're all just one breath away from eternity, right? And when that last breath comes, it doesn't matter who you are, what kind of health plan you have, what kind of vaccinations you've had, what kind of doctors you have. You're going home. But think about if you don't know those that don't know the Lord, where are they going? They're going to a permanent place too, but that's not where we want anybody to go. That I may know how frail I am. So, Lord, in a way, teach me to number my days. Let's prioritize the little time we have left. What's really important in your life? And I think we can go all the way back to a day. You've got, I think, 4 or 5 pages attached to the back of your notes today on Robert Merrick McShane. He kind of caught my thoughts as I was going through this because here was a man, he only had a ministry for 7.5 years. He died at 30 years old, even younger than our Savior. But he is so impactful and what he says is so phenomenal. So I was reading through that. I thought, oh, I'll just put that on there. Maybe it'll mean something to somebody, maybe not. You know, don't waste your time too much on what other people say, but I like to see how God speaks to them, and particularly when he's speaking to them in Scripture. And so I was blessed by what he had to say. Basically, he's saying, Lord, when my life is past, may it have accounted for something that you have me here for. Not just a total waste of time. Verse 5, indeed you have made my days as handbreadths. Handbreadths is the shortest distance of measure in the Hebrew. It's 4 fingers, really. If you want to spread them out, maybe it's that. I don't know. That. Anyway, it's 4 fingers. So my life is as long as 4 fingers. Not very long, is it? Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths. My age is nothing before you. It's like a blink. And I was just thinking about, I wrote down some dates of my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my father, and myself, and go on from there. But it's just, it's all history now, right? And we're here stirring around like crazy for a while, right? But we don't stir too long because my age is nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. Ooh, does that hurt a little bit? Very realistic, isn't it? Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves. I like the translation in the margin here. It says they make an uproar for nothing. Are you going around making an uproar about yourself for nothing? Surely they busy themselves in vain. They heap up riches and do not know who will gather them. Verse 7, and now, O Lord, what do I wait for? What am I waiting for? My hope is in you. And now he's kind of smarting from the rebuke. It's a little bit like to me, you send a little child, maybe you would say, go to your room. And they say, not going, go to your room, you know. So they finally go to your room, and then maybe a while later you expect them to really have thought it through, and yeah, they can understand their errors. They're still obstinate.
No.
Do you know why you had to go to your room? No. All they know is that punishment is unreasonable, and there's nothing wrong with them. But here he says, deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. I was mute. I did not open my mouth because it was you who did it. And then he says, remove your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. Wow. I have a quote there in the scripture somewhere on Hebrews talking about for whom he loves, he chastens, right? And if you're not chastened by the Lord, you're not his legitimate child. So don't hate the chastening from the Lord. Be glad you got it. Remove your plague from me. I'm consumed by the blow of your hand. When with rebukes you correct, you correct. When with rebukes you correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is vapor. So we got a repeat of that, being our lives are as vapor. And then he kind of closes on an upbeat prayer. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you. Boy, don't you feel like a stranger? If you don't, go down to South Coast Plaza and walk through that mall, and the only thing that I can think of, I don't belong here, you know? I just don't belong here. Or wherever, it doesn't have to be a mall, but I mean out in the world. I'm a stranger with you, a sojourner as all my fathers were. Remove your gaze from me that I may regain strength before I go away and am no more. I think McShane said, if I remember right, he looked at his day. What is the most fruitful part of your day? And he wanted to make sure he spent that part of it with the Lord. For him, it was 6 to 8 in the morning was his times of least interruption. And he wanted to make sure that the most important things in life are the ones that he's making time for. Because we all have 24 hours a day, and it's never enough, is it? It's never enough to do what you want to do. But are you doing what you, not just today I want to do this and this, no. And also he would never wake up in the morning without saying, how many souls can I touch today that would have some impact on their eternal life? Well, Father, we know all of these things, but we need to be reminded of them. And we know how much we need you, Lord. Unless it's led by you and guided by you, we are not looking for a lot of effort, a lot of shadow boxing and a lot of perspiration apart from you, which will account for nothing, but things that relate to eternal issues. And that is all by you, through you, and of you because of your great love for us, and you want none to be lost, and we continue to see your grace and your mercy being extended over and over and over in our lives and in others' lives as well. So, Lord, help us now to redeem these moments by praying as you would lead us to pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. As we come to the end of the hour, verse 12 of today's psalm says, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. So let's sing this same song, really. Hear my cry, O Lord.
End of the earth, will I cry unto thee?
I just want to close with a verse here that I feel I need. Maybe somebody else needs this as well. I don't know. 1 Samuel 15:22. After Saul came back and had not wiped out the Amalekites as he was told to do, but he wanted to bring back the good things for the Lord, he said. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." Lord, I believe everyone in this room has been given wisdom. I believe everyone in this room has been given the Word of God. I believe everyone in this room has been given all and above all that we could ever ask for or want or think. But Lord, help me to be obedient, just to be obedient, Lord, to whatever you want to do through my life, Lord. Really, it's vapor. It counts for nothing in one way, and yet you can do through your people. You have remnants in every corner and country in the world, Lord, to work through them, and you are working through them. And we know, Lord, there is a need for repentance. There is a need for receiving your love. It's not that you're short on your love. It's not that your spirit is weak, but you will not violate our self-will, Lord, and there has to be that receptivity deep within each heart to love you. You only are going to have those people in heaven who love you, not those who we just think it'd be a good idea for them to be there, which we do. But Lord, help us to love you and help us to be obedient to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for being here, and I just marvel at the Psalms. They or so. You know, one week it's praising the Lord, I can't get enough of that. The next week it's look at yourself, I don't know, like that. But it's all there, isn't it? It's all there. So do read that, those of you who come in late. I was kind of touched by Robert Murray McShane's life here, and there's kind of a nice thing that I saw, so I just downloaded it and put it on here. But 7.5 years in the ministry, died at 29 plus, almost 30 years old. Very, very young, but younger than our Lord when he went to the cross. But he touched many, many lives in his short life. So what the Lord can do through those hearts who are willing. Anyway, got you.